The bag is packed with the sticks. The drinks are cold. And the scorecard's ready to go. Time to hit the links.
Oh, so now you're starting to... you're starting to feel it. Yeah.
I'm thinking about it being Father's Day.
Sunday red hats for us all.
This is On the Tee, presented by Wisconsin Golf Trips.
Well, he's not going to be wearing red on Saturday.
The name of the brand is going to be Sunday under par. Red. Okay. I understand it. The name Woods will be coated in red on Saturday. I still just don't believe that he is enough to do it over 72.
Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Alongside Bally Sports' Stephen Watson, here's Gabe Neitzel.
Much like the U.S. Open preview, I feel like the U.S. Open review, we're going to wish we had a longer show.
Something happened on Sunday?
I think that this was the best Sunday of a major since Tiger won in 2019.
Wholeheartedly agree.
All right, I don't know if you're going to disagree with that, but like this was... This had everything. This had good golf, this had bad golf, this had drama, a great golf course, punishment for shots, and therefore, when you hit a good shot, you were rewarded for hitting those good shots. Good shots meant something. And you had a great duel going down the stretch.
Most importantly, you had superstars.
And yeah.
You had big names at the top of a leaderboard in the back nine of a major.
And, I mean, Pinehurst number two, if anybody had any questions about whether or not this was going to be a venue that was deserving of getting, best way to put it, not necessarily the recognition, but just getting the sheer number of U.S. Opens they are going to get. Basically once every 5 years for the next 25 years. I think all those questions were answered. Oh, yeah, this is a place where, and you mentioned this last week, it's a place where, especially for the general public, you're going to get your teeth kicked in. I mean, a lot of these pros got their teeth kicked in, but it is an awesome test for the 0.001% that are professional golfers.
I would call it a perfect test for professional golfers. Great theater, great history, great conditions.
Great crowds. Had everything. Had absolutely everything you could possibly want. And the finish was just spectacular.
And the other thing about the setup at Pinehurst that allowed the finish to be spectacular is the sight lines for the players. Everything is so tight there.
Yeah.
That Rory was on a tee box on 18.
Yeah.
Watching Bryson's shot on 17 come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was captured well by television. You could feel it. You could feel the tense nature. What was at stake for both of these players? A lot of guys will tell you they don't look at leaderboards. They focus on themselves. We watched it play out. We could see the looks on their faces of the drama, the intensity, and just the back and forth nature of what was one of the great closes in major history.
Some of these courses, like I think of Southern Hills a couple of years ago when JT won. And in order for that to be a PGA championship course, they had to extend some of the tee boxes so back. Like, there's crossfire happening, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point that you made. In terms of Pinehurst number two, what's cool about the routing, and again, I haven't been there, but I got to feel it through watching the telecast, especially on Sunday, is a lot of those tee boxes, or in a lot of those holes, are kind of next to each other. It almost has that Augusta effect of, oh, I heard a roar. All right, well, somebody just did something on six. Oh, I heard a roar. Okay, somebody hit a great tee shot on 16. And I think it had some of those similar things happening, especially with the way it almost worked out perfectly. I was kind of hoping that Rory and Bryson would end up in the same group together on Saturday, but I think it worked out better, especially for the drama of watching it, that Rory was ahead and Bryson was behind, so you could get some of those things. Okay, now I'm looking. Okay, where is he there? Okay. Rory's clearly paying attention as he's up on 18 to where Bryson's tee shot ended up on 18. And because of the routing and the way everything's a little bit more compact on that property, it's not this big ballpark that's super spread out, you get some of those moments of drama that can be illustrated.
And we heard from Bryson after the win that he could tell by the groan that Rory missed that putt.
Mm-hmm.
And that maybe changes his approach for his next shot. and Rory standing on the tee box on 18 could see where that ball lands on 17 and goes, all right, I got to go make a par. And you don't get to see it play out like that very often in golf. I mean, we're talking a couple of yards between 17 green, 18 tee box for these guys. And I just thought it was incredible theater. I thought just the emotions were on full display. It was captured beautifully. And a lot of that credit is to the crowd as well, because they made me feel as a viewer that I was there with them and that I was hanging on every shot and every bit of silence just as much as they were.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Rory or do you want to start with Bryson? Which is a bigger story to you?
I think it's a fair question. Did Bryson win or did Rory lose?
I think it's a little of both, to be honest, because Bryson still went out and, to me, still went out and won it. And that's, I guess, easy to say, considering Rory missed or bogeyed, I guess, three of his last four holes. Although the first bogey was a spectacular bogey, just to be able to keep that ball on the green after he airmailed 15 when it, you know, got a tough hop, rolls all the way back into, you know, the native area. It's up against one of those, you know, tufts of grass back there, and he's just got to punch it, get it on the feet, or get it on the green, hangs on, two putts for his bogey, but then missing a three-footer and a four-footer. At the same time, the shot that Bryson hit out of that bunker, he went and won it. Like, he was in trouble. He's staring a potential playoff in the face if he doesn't get it up and down, and he delivered with one of the more spectacular and memorable shots in major championship history. It's one people are going to talk about. It's one where we talk about every time we go to Erin Hills, and there's the little plaque for Justin Thomas after he got home in two on 18, and, you know, people are always going to want to throw a ball down and try. People are going to want to throw a ball down and try that shot on 18 at Pinehurst. That's just... You're at 18 at Torrey Pines. You want to try that shot from Tiger.
17 at Whistling Straits.
17 at Whistling Straits.
For Jordan Spieth.
Yep. Yeah, trying to get up and down from the Ryder Cup. Yes, it's one of the memorable shots.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean,
it was...
Even Matt Fitzgerald at Brookline, the country club.
Oh, yeah.
His 9-iron from the sand that won him the U.S. Open a couple of years ago.
So, I mean, it was a spectacular shot. Like, absolutely needed it. He stepped up and got it. But he also got a little bit of help from Rory in order to... You know, it's one of those things where it wasn't this big of a comeback, but when the Patriots had to come back against the Falcons in the Super Bowl when they were down 28-3, Falcons had to help them out a little bit. We don't necessarily talk about that part, but the Falcons had to help them out a little bit, and Rory had to help out Bryson a little bit in order for Bryson to pull it off.
We witnessed one of the greatest up and downs in major championship history. There's no doubt about it. The shot Bryson hit 55 yards from a bunker to that green. I've been on that green. It is... incredible how hard it is to keep a ball in that green. And he put it to a couple of feet and made the putt too, right? But Rory lost this. And I think the bigger story was the choke by Rory. Because we've seen him contend in the last decade at an unbelievable rate. Since his last win 10 years ago, 37 majors he's participated in, 4 runners up, 11 top fives, 21 top 10s. The last 3 years alone, Gabe, 4 top 3 finishes, including back-to-back runner-ups now at the U.S. Open. But what made this Sunday different for Rory versus some of the ones we've seen recently, St. Andrews, last year at the U.S. Open? He was making the putts.
He had the lead.
He was making the long putts on the back nine. Had the stretch of 4 birdies in 5 holes. That's what we had not seen from Rory recently in these majors. We've seen a lot of backdoor top 10s, top 5s from McIlroy.
Mm-hmm.
But he had this one in his hands. He had a 2-shot lead. And then...
he had a 2-shot lead on the back nine.
It was the most human he's ever looked on a golf course. A true one-of-us moment, but in the most heartbreaking fashion that I can remember... as a golf fan, when he missed that putt under 3 feet on 16, he made this look where he put his hands down and he said, relax, relax. And it sounded like he was saying it to the crowd, but he was definitely saying it to himself, like, Rory, you need to chill.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, he's still got a lead. He's going to figure this out. bogeying three of the final four holes when you have it on your fingertips was a collapse that, frankly, I don't know how he recovers from this, Gabe. And that's what my mind keeps going back to. These professional golfers are built differently from you and I. But this is how yips are born. This is how demons are born.
Well, the demons, I think, already existed. I think that's part of it.
But you know what?
This is the closest he's actually been. Because you mentioned some of the U.S. Open last year, where he finished second. He had opportunities, trying to hit a and miss the wedge shot on the par five.
He made
at
one
LACC.
Birdie in the final round at LACC.
Yeah. And he had the birdies going. He had the lead. And I don't know if it just kind of caught up to him. And he started thinking the same things I thought when he was standing there on 16 when he missed the short par putt. I was thinking, okay, that's in the hole. Because again, it was under 3 feet, which he had not missed an under 3 footer all year.
496 or 496 inside 3 feet this golf season before that putt on 16.
I was already thinking about it. Oh, okay. Two pars and Rory wins the U.S. Open. Two pars.
So
that was so I think that's what happened. Just, okay, two more pars, and he just lost a little bit of focus on that. And then he pulls that one. Pulls a little two-foot, six-inch putt. And now he's got a left-to-righter. Slippery down the hill. Certainly a tough putt. Not that tough of a putt for a professional. And I think it was Smiley on the broadcast who just went, it's slippery, but you hit this with a little pace, you keep it inside the hole. And then they cut to Rory, and he's very obviously aiming outside the hole, and I knew he was missing it.
But he missed it low.
Because you know what happens after you pull a putt? Same thing after you just, you pull a drive really bad, right? Well, for me, right. For everybody else, left. You know where the next one's going? So he pulled a putt. And now he's thinking about, I pulled that putt on 16. This is a left to righter. I got to make sure I don't pull this. And he doesn't hit it with any sort of pace. Doesn't hit it with any sort of making pace. Just kind of that's a putt I've made before. Just kind of wishing it goes in. Now you got to hit that with a little bit of pace and deal with the comebacker in order to make that. And Rory knows that.
Yeah.
But the putt from 16 certainly was in his head on 18. And the second he lined up outside the hole, I mean, even if he had just hit that with a little bit of pace, but he just kind of decels through it, leaves the putter head open, and it just dives below the hole.
It was sad. You're right. It was heartbreaking. And I'm a huge Rory fan.
Yep.
You're a huge Rory fan.
Same.
Am I upset that Bryson won? I'm not.
No.
But I'm really upset that Rory lost.
Because again, I feel like Bryson still had to execute shots to go get it.
Yeah.
It's not like, after Bryson missed his shorty, after Bryson missed his short putt on, what was that, 14, 15, whatever it was, like he executed down the stretch, hit some really good shots, and really didn't get squirrely until he got to 18 when he hit one way left, somehow finding a tree on that hole that he had to somehow deal with, not just the branches, but the root, and hit, a pretty good shot to get out of there and somehow get into jail, which is the bunker he was in. Like, he executed the shots he needed to execute.
Well, I mean, the 18th hole for both Rory and Bryson is why number two shines. Because there's only so much bullying of the golf ball you can do on a course like that. And they both found themselves with really hard second shots, and they had to make incredible up and downs in order to make a par. Rory didn't. Bryson did. And it happened in the biggest moment of perhaps both of their golf careers, definitely for Bryson at this point. But for Rory, this choke is going to stay with him until he wins the next, and if he wins the next.
I will say this, though, about Pinehurst number two, and when we get back there in 5 years, which, by the way, the rollback will be in effect by then. But especially if it's going to be drier like it was this week, it's not surprising to me that the two best drivers of the golf ball in terms of how far and straight they hit it were the two at the top of the leaderboard, because they were hitting different irons that have that high loft, because Rory can hit super high shots and just launch them into greens. Same thing with Bryson, obviously. I don't think that's a coincidence that when those greens get that firm, having that extra loft coming in because they were so long and accurate with their driver was a huge advantage.
Without question, but don't also ignore the fact that Bryson barely hit any fairways on Sunday.
Yeah.
He led the field in scrambling at the PGA Championship. I don't know what his final numbers were after this one, but he had to be pretty close. And the scramble that he made on 18 will go down as one of the best scrambles in major championship history. So, yes, Bryson went out there and won it. But in my mind, this was more about Rory losing it and where he goes from there.
Where do you think? I mean, I honestly don't know. He's had so much heartbreak in these majors and has been on the right. I mean, he's tried so many different things, like to prepare for majors. I'll play a week before a major. No, I won't play a week before a major. I'll play a bunch before a major. I'll barely play before a major. I'll get there early. I'll get there late. He's tried just about every combination, especially for Augusta, but for just about every major, and has been on the record saying, I feel like I'm trying to win my first one again.
Because he is.
Because it's been a decade.
There's a lot of bites at the apple right now for McIlroy. You figure if he puts himself in that position enough, eventually it's going to go his way. Two-shot lead on the back nine. Felt like this was the one.
Yeah. For the longest time, I didn't think it was going to happen.
He's so unbelievably talented that I'm not going to rule out him winning another major, because that would just be outlandish with the stretch that he's put on the last couple of years in major championships. But it certainly is going to always be in the back of his mind when it comes to making that putt in the big moment, whether or not he can.
So he's got to have the Scotty Scheffler lead. He's got to be up by four,
yeah,
so he can four putt the final green.
Or get a putting lesson from Scotty. The irony there.
The last thing I'll say about Rory is in another reason why I think Bryson, I disagree, and I think Bryson won it maybe a little bit more than Rory did. Because the U.S. Open, historically, not every year, but historically, for the most part, is not just a test of your skill. It is a test of your mental strength. It is testing your patience. It is testing a lot of things about your mental game in golf and how frustrated you're going to get with yourself because you catch a bad break or what have you. And we saw some people break. We saw Scottie Scheffler break this week through a couple putters. He was incredibly frustrated on those greens. So that's a part of the mental grind is a part of the U.S. Open test. And there was a mental test that Rory failed in the last four holes. And Bryson passed. And that's why I think Bryson won just a little bit more, I think, than Rory lost it. Although, you can't have one without the other. Like, one executed, the other didn't. But at the same time, like, we're just kind of divvying up, I think, like 51-49, you know, really the other way, because it's that close to me. We will talk more about Bryson DeChambeau and what this means for him going forward, but I do want to tell you about our friend Jason over at Wisconsin Golf Trips, who may or may not have had a little bit of money on Bryson DeChambeau, as he told us last week when he joined us to preview the 124th U.S. Open. But WisconsinGolfTrips.com is the place you need to go if you're looking to book a great golf trip to a place like maybe Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, or if you're doing an international trip like Scotland and Ireland. We're heading to Scotland. That's right, on the tee to Scotland, and you can join us. Spots filling up fast. Don't have very many left. You want to join us in October. See the entire itinerary. See what it would potentially cost you. Just text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 800-990-3776. Get the entire itinerary, and then you can join us in Scotland this fall. More on Bryson coming up next on the tee. You know how much we love Erin Hills here on the tee. Golf Digest 10th ranked public course in the nation. Great overnight accommodations. That's the one thing I haven't done out there. I haven't stayed overnight.
It's special.
Maybe I need to work with Steve Peace and try to, you know, arrange something for next year before we play out there for on
sneaky
the team.
Underrated experience out there. I mean, even though we're close in the Milwaukee area,
yeah,
it's worth treating yourself to a night there.
All right. We're certainly worth checking out. And we are on the clock. The 2025 U.S. Women's Open next year at Erin Hills. Find out more. ErinHills.com. Bryson DeChambeau is now a two-time major winner. And I have not been, I've been very open and honest of, I'm not a fan of Bryson. He's certainly an entertainer. I am not a fan of some of the things that he says. Him floating his golf balls in Epsom salt was certainly a look, I think, interesting. But I can't deny that he went out and won it, and he deserved and earned every part of that win on Sunday to become a two-time U.S. Open champ. Like it was, he was thrilling to watch. And again, I've got some issues with, I think, some of the sincerity at times. I've got an issue that he openly talks about how his iron self-corrects. So it makes me wonder how good the skill is, or if it's just the equipment that he constantly thanks at every moment, like he's a NASCAR driver thanking every sponsor on his car. But he went out and earned this. Like he was the best player day one through day four.
You can love him, you can hate him, but you have to respect him as golf's greatest showman. And I agree with you. You know, for a long time, I was kind of sick of the shtick of, you know, him as the mad scientist and how he was smarter than everybody and he loved the game more than anybody and the history of the game more than anybody. But I'm starting to kind of just think he's a golf sicko on another level that we can't even understand, Gabe. Like the Epsom salt thing.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring that up. That was a question that was brought up to him.
Because somebody had heard about it.
Like he has his YouTube channel where a lot of this stuff comes out, right?
Which, by the way, I think has really helped him kind of open up.
100%.
I think his YouTube, he's found, and it's always interesting with athletes, right? Especially somebody like Bryson, who like golf and professional golf is really all he's known. Like that's been a goal since he was at SMU. Got, you know, notoriety, certainly from playing at SMU, was a USAM champ, played the Masters because of it, single length irons. This is going to change the game. All these things that have kind of followed him around. And a lot of times they get so singularly focused, they almost lose themselves. Like he didn't really know who he necessarily was. And I think the YouTube stuff has helped him find out who he is. I think it's really opened him up. And I think that's fantastic, by the way.
And I think that he's actually like falling into this personality that's really likable. There was
until he talks.
And I said this on the show after the PGA Championship that what I appreciate about Bryson is that he's unapologetically himself. And when he won, I thought the emotion was real.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was genuine. And I truly believe that his love for the game of golf, he wants to share that with everyone.
Yeah. Look, I think that the I don't know if he knew what he was saying when he's like, I want everybody to touch this trophy. I don't know if he knew what he was saying, but he followed up on it. And the fact that he was just hanging out as Johnson Wagner's trying to recreate the shot on live from on Golf Channel and then just shows up after Johnson almost hits the clubhouse with his first attempt and then hits a better shot than Bryson did on the second attempt with a little encouragement from Bryson was fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, I think he probably let every single person on property that wanted to touch it. He let Johnson hold it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't see that. And I even saw a video of the neighborhood that he was staying in at Pinehurst when he got back, and the neighbors peeked out and they saw it was Bryson, and he's walking down the street of this random neighborhood in North Carolina being like, oh yeah, this is a U.S. Open trophy. You want to hold it? He's one of one. And I get that there's a live element to this that is somewhat getting buried a little bit with this celebration of who he is and the performance that he had. And the fact that he still publicly talks about wanting to bring the game together when the one who was part of fracturing it. I get it.
That's my problem, because every time I want to start liking him, Stephen, every time I'm like, man, this dude might be likable, he shows up somewhere. Man, we got to get back together. I wonder what broke this game. who could say? Hey, it's anybody's guess. Oh, I don't know, man. Maybe it was the lawsuit that you were a big part of, suing the other people on the PGA Tour. Maybe it was you leaving and taking a bleep ton of money for somebody who cared about the history of the game. Like, that's the part. And then, you know, like just as I'm getting ready to be like, oh, yeah, I like this guy, the same way I can, you know, respect the Brooks Koepka who, okay, you went and you took the money, but you kind of shut up about it. And now, like, Bryson, every time he wants to talk about unifying the game, man, you're the one who bleeping broke it. So that's what's frustrating to me. And every time he gets close to me liking him, he decides to open his mouth again and help remind me of, oh, yeah, maybe you actually haven't changed. Maybe you aren't the guy that has shown this great personality at the U.S. Open. I don't know. I don't know who he is.
So come the Open, will you root for Bryson?
No. I don't see me rooting for Bryson unless he ends up on a Ryder Cup team or something like that. I'm rooting for Team USA, which I don't think the game's going to be unified in 2025 for the Ryder Cup at Bethpage, so I doubt he's on the team. Unless he goes out and, you know, wins a couple of majors next year in the way that it's just so elevated now that he makes the team the way that Brooks made the team.
I don't know if it's just the exhaustion that's set in to my body about professional golf. I just want to be entertained. I'm over the LIV versus PGA, and I get that ultimately LIV guys are going to get to eat their cake and have it too.
Which I don't care about.
The writing's on the wall.
Which,
right?
I don't care about. Like the PGA Tour guys need to just grow the bleep up too.
But
I don't. I just don't want to hear it really from anyone who had a big part in breaking it about how we now need to fix it. It's the arson standing there with the gasoline in the matches going, somebody going to put this fire out? Who's going to do that?
That's what they all do. The messaging is consistent.
So just the lack of accountability for himself. That's just incredibly frustrating.
But I'll tell you what. I love watching him play golf. And I'm sad that I don't get to see it more often. And I think that
I'm okay with just the majors. Because I think you would, honestly.
Because that's what most of us are watching anyway.
I think he'd get tiring. I think he would be a little overbearing.
And I think you're probably right. Especially among PGA Tour players. I think his shtick would get really old really fast, but his character arc is unlike anything we've seen, maybe in professional golf, maybe in all of sport.
And it's nowhere even close to being done. Who knows what happens from here? Your guess is as good as mine.
He thinks he is the most likable athlete in the world right now, in his head.
Oh, yeah.
And to some, he is.
Sure.
He's won over a lot of people with the way that he played golf and the way that he handled himself and the class and the history and the bringing the fan involvement. I think we need more of that in the professional game. I think we need these golfers to stop taking themselves so seriously and remember that they are entertainers and this is a game at the end of the day and they're all very well compensated for it. So just enjoy yourself and enjoy the fact that you have all these people supporting you and wanting to watch you succeed and watch you play the game of golf in a way that only you can do it. I think a couple of players can learn from that, Gabe.
I think he actually practices and was one of the very few, probably in the landscape of men's professional golf, that actually practices and has succeeded in the phrase that I am so bleeping sick of that you hear all the time. Grow the game. But Bryson actually goes out like, to his credit. Again, I'm not a fan of this guy, but to his credit, the things that he does on his YouTube channel, signing all the autographs for the kids, stopping and signing for the gentleman in the wheelchair in the middle of his round, by the way, which not a lot of professional golfers can do, and because they can't have that separation and float in and out. It's tough to do.
Yeah.
But he has somehow found a way to do it. He actually is one of the very few people in the landscape of men's professional golf that's actually growing the game because he finds a way through his YouTube stuff, whether it's him hitting the hickories, whether it's him taking, you know, the beginner children's set that has like the driver and the 8-iron and a wedge and a putter and playing golf holes with that. Like, he's finding a way to reach a younger generation, therefore actually growing the game, getting younger people interested in the game of golf. So to his credit,
yeah,
that's something that he actually does.
And not only is he growing the game, he's changed the game at the professional level. For years now, he changed how guys ate.
Well, he changed how he ate and then realized, smartest man in the world, didn't realize eating 17 pounds of bacon was going to be bad for your gut health.
How guys chase speed, how they change their swings, including Rory McIlroy himself, who said that he even found himself chasing what Bryson was doing, trying it out. That's part of the Bryson DeChambeau legacy.
Mm-hmm.
If it is growing the game, that's great, but he's changed the game. His irons. A lot of it's shtick. I get that.
Look, the single length irons work for him.
But we talk about it.
Until more people actually start playing the single length irons, and I see somebody who actually buys single length irons, then he's changed the game. Has he changed the game with some of the distance and people try to? Absolutely. The irons, I mean, I think the jury's already back in. I don't think anybody's playing single length irons.
I can't think of another golfer outside of Tiger Woods who may have had this type of impact on how other guys play golf. Made them think about how they play their game and how they want to chase the way that he's played his. And that's my point. So not only is he finding fans, he's also changed the way the pros play. And for that, I think he actually deserves a great amount of respect when you think about the landscape of professional golf.
Summerfest is back. That's right. Big gig starts this weekend on Milwaukee's Lakefront, and we want to send you there right now. Caller 4. Caller 4, 800-990-3776 wins a four-pack of tickets to Summerfest. Four tickets on us to take your friends, family, whoever you want. Caller 4 right now, 800-990-3776. Who's going to be the one amongst a group of five players who currently have two majors to win the most? Steven and I discuss next on the team.
Hit it!
Unforgettable holes on 250 acres of natural private land. The Bog provides the ultimate golf experience. Book your next tee time. Just give them a call, 262-284-7075, or visit golfthebog.com. Enjoy golf. Enjoy the Bog. Steven, you lobbed a question my way earlier today, and I think it's an interesting question. So right now there are five active golfers who have two major championships on the men's side. Bryson just picked up his second. Scottie Scheffler picked up his second at the Masters earlier this year. Justin Thomas has two. Colin Morikawa has two. And John Rahm also has two. So the question you lobbed to me, so I'm going to lob it right back to you. Who ends up with the most out of that group of five?
I think it's a two-man race.
Okay.
Between the two major winners from this year, Bryson and Scottie Scheffler. I think John Rahm sold his soul, and it's going to be hard for him to recover. I think it's the way that he has played golf this year. He, outside of the dollar figure amount, probably regrets his decision. And Justin Thomas is in a really dark place. I don't know if we're going to see him get back. He should just be focused on getting back on Ryder Cup teams and not as much about winning majors at this point. Colin Morikawa is a fascinating case because he's actually had a heck of a golf season so far this year, and he has a ton of raw talent. But I think ultimately, when you're talking about winning the most, Scottie Scheffler, I think, can win five. I think Bryson, I have him winning one, maybe two more. At this point,
I think it's a little unfair to Rahm. I understand things haven't gone well for Rahm this year. And anytime we start having and start handing out major championships, and we see this like in the NBA, the talk all across today was, are the Boston Celtics the next dynasty, right? It's a conversation you have to have after somebody wins a championship. Last year at this time, we were talking about who's the best player in the world, Scottie Scheffler or John Rahm. Scottie didn't even win a major. He had top fives, but it didn't feel like he was actually close because his putter was just so bad that it didn't feel like he was actually in any of those major championships despite having good finishes in them. And this is, I don't want to take anything away from Bryson because it's a hell of a major run that he's on. T6 at the Masters, second at the PGA, now a win. But also, he doesn't have a great history at the Open Championship since 2017. Here are his results. Cut, T51. Cut, T33, T8, T60. One top 10. That's it. So, he needs to figure out that recipe, certainly, of playing at Open Championships. And he's on a great run right now. But also, I don't feel like Bryson's in for a long golf career. The way he violently swings, the way he just decides to change things, like his diet. But I think, and we saw this even this weekend, where he had to have somebody be working on his hip. The way he swings a golf club isn't meant for longevity. I felt it after he won his first U.S. Open back in 2020. I still feel the same way now. I feel injuries are going to catch up to him. I don't think it's going to be Bryson. I think it's Scotty, and then I think it's Rahm. Because John Rahm is still immensely talented. And I know things aren't going his way on LIV this year, and maybe it's taking him a little bit of time to make that adjustment in his life, and now he's got an injury. Very strange injury, by the way. Just walking around with one shoe and one flip-flop on.
Yeah.
As he had the foot injury. But I also think Rahm's game translates a lot of places. Like, Rahm's won a U.S. Open. He's won a Masters. Like, of the people on this list, he had a bunch of just repeat winners. Scotty's won two Masters. JT's won two PGAs. Two U.S. Opens now for Bryson. Colin Morikawa and John Rahm are the two that have actually gone out and won in different venues, in different styles of golf courses. And I think that lends well for John Rahm as well going forward.
Yeah, we have the poll up right now at ESPN Milwaukee on X. It's always Twitter, but X, ESPN Milwaukee. And right now,
you don't have to do like the TV official thing. Like, we still call it Twitter on radio.
Okay, Twitter.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler with a resounding 86% of the vote right now of who's going to win their third major first, yeah, is how we have the poll. So I think most people think Scotty, the way that he's playing golf this year, despite a poor performance at Pinehurst number two, is most likely to win the next major. I you know, maybe I am being too hard on Rahm, but he's in a bad place right now.
He's in a very bad place right now.
And he's the type of guy that you take the money and you don't know how people recover from that type of thing. You know, he took the comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Is the passion there? Is the competitive edge there?
I mean, if you really wanted to, I guess we're missing another big name off this list. Technically active golfers with two. Speaking of guys that took the money and just kind of disappeared.
Dustin?
DJ.
He ain't winning.
That was the most shocking revelation, by the way, of this past season of Full Swing. When he's like, man, maybe I'm getting too comfortable. It's, you know, I got to get back to the grind. And it doesn't seem like he's gotten back to the grind.
I think he's fine.
I think he's accepted with everything that's going on. He's cool.
Yeah,
he's going to show up. He's going to try to play well. That's just not going to work.
It's just sad because that Ryder Cup that you had at Whistling Straits was so special, where he went 5-0.
Oh, yeah.
And the celebration after, and like Pete Dustin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that we'll always have that.
Yes, we
DJ.
Will. We'll always have that, DJ.
But the fact that we forgot about it, it kind of just says
everything you need to know.
He'll be exempt. He'll go and show up at some majors.
Well, so he's got a 10-year exemption into the U.S. Open that he won in, what, 16? Yeah, 16. It was the year before Aaron Hills. So he's got a couple years left on that. And he's got the lifetime exemption in the Masters.
If I'm playing in every U.S. Open and Masters, I'm good. Sorry, I just want to see him make a cut at a major. Has he even done that in the last few years?
Give me a second here. I can look that up for you. It has not been good for him. I hope
we're both wrong about JT. He is the most fascinating case on this list because he has so much incredible talent. He was one of the golden boys of golf over the last decade. Mm-hmm. His rise with Jordan Spieth. And they both are still trying to find themselves right now. Add Ricky Fowler to that mix, who's just still trying to win his first. You found the list?
Yeah. How far back do you want to go?
Since his last win at the Masters and COVID Masters.
Okay, so he won the COVID Masters. The COVID year was good for him because he finished first there, T2 at the PGA, T6 at the U.S. Open, obviously no Open Championship. 2021.
How about post-LIV?
So that would have been, he joined right away, right?
Yeah.
22?
I'll never forget signing off on the tee, and 5 minutes later, he broke the news on it.
So U.S. Open in 2022, T24. Open Championship in 22, T6. Last year in the majors, T6, T48 at the Masters, T55 at the PGA, T10 at the US Open, got cut at the Open. This year, cut, T43 cut. That's ugly. Doesn't seem like the guy's close.
I think we've lost DJ.
I think, yeah. Well, but honestly, like, I look at him and JT kind of the same. I think JT's done winning majors. Oof. I think JT is done winning majors. He might win a PGA Tour.
And he's lucky he has two.
Yeah.
He acknowledges, he only has two because of Mito, not because he went out there and won the second PGA.
Yeah. I mean, he played a hell of a round in the fourth round, but yeah, Mito helped him out big time.
Mito and Rory are forever.
Two guys that are now linked. Now. Yeah, two guys that are linked that I didn't think would be. You know how much we love golf here on the tee. I also love baseball. Combine them now with X-Golf at American Family Field. New this year, you can combine single game tickets and sim time. Just go to the single game ticket website for the Milwaukee Brewers, and you can purchase both those things. Then kick back, relax, and enjoy the great food and beverage options that they have at X-Golf at American Family Field. Also, you can go check that out on non-game days. And if you're playing a round out there, non-game day or game day, has to be a regular round, and you make a hole-in-one, you and somebody else get to go down Bernie's Slide. That's right. You and a guest get to go to Bernie's Slide if you make the ace. Find out more at X-Golf, American Fam, at X-Golf and Fam Field. So after the U.S. Open was over, Stephen, I just couldn't help but feel sad. I just felt sad. And not because Bryson won, because Bryson deserved to win. I wasn't sad because of that. I know I complain about this every year, but this major championship schedule and calendar sucks. Like, golf is really just starting to hit its stride here in a place like Wisconsin. You know, if we're lucky, you know, places will start to open up in April, May, where, you know, courses are really starting to come to its own. But we were just talking about this. We're out at Wisconsin, we're both members at Wisconsin Country Club. And that golf course right now is singing.
Yeah.
It is in great shape. And a lot of the golf courses are there. I was down at Abbey Springs playing a WPGA event yesterday. Course is in great condition. Like, I feel like golf season's just hitting its stride now here in Wisconsin. And now we have one major left.
I kind of love that.
What? What do you mean you love that?
Because I want good, entertaining golf when I'm not spending my weekends golfing. Right?
Okay.
Like, that's what I love about the January, February, March California swing,
mm-hmm.
is I love seeing the blue skies and the beautiful weather and watching guys have fun and wishing I was there. When I get to the summertime.
That's about you?
Yeah, it's my me time. I want to be out the pool. I want to be playing my own golf. I don't want to waste it watching golf.
You spending a lot of time at the pool?
Yeah, I got kids, man. Not me. In the kiddie pool. Just swimming in urine. Yeah, that's my life right now.
Urine up to your ankles. Yeah, just hanging, wading in the kiddie pool.
But it doesn't bother me a ton. No.
It just, I really feel like
I want them to figure out the fall. I want them to get the fall right. You know, it's a President's Cup year. Great. I care more about the... Like, give me the spring and the fall. Get it right. Augusta makes me feel like we've made it, mm-hmm. right? The U.S. Open, Father's Day weekend.
Yeah.
Feel good. July, coffee golf. Give it to me.
Which is fantastic, but then basically professional golf to me ends there. I don't give a rip about the FedEx Cup.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They got to get it right. We got to get the fall right.
Well, that's what it starts with, having the PGA in August.
I'm good with it, man.
It starts with having the PGA in August.
Hey.
Because then we can also get our friends up at Whistling Straits back on the rotation there.
Well, yeah, I would hope that for them. But if we're talking about just like, I want to lock in on a weekend and watch golf.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that right now. I want to play golf. I want to be in the sun.
That's what your phone's for. I was at the Brewer game on Sunday.
I was working the Brewer game Sunday.
We both probably had our phones out the entire time.
I don't even know what I said in the post-game show because I was watching. I probably was talking about Bryson and Rory for all I know.
Exciting Brewers game ends with a guy getting gunned down at the plate. And Stevens.
Rory took the lead.
Stevens on Brewers Live talking about Bryson's up and down. We'll be back again next week right here on the tee.